WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump will zero in on the war in Ukraine when he meets with the nation's leader, Volodymyr Zelensky, in the Oval Office today. CBS's Natalie Brand.
We're expecting the topic of advanced weapons systems, specifically long-range Tomahawk missiles, to come up. That is something that Zelensky has been pushing for.
Former National Security Advisor John Bolton surrendered in Maryland after he was charged with mishandling classified documents. Chaos at a high school soccer game in Louisville, Kentucky. Several players and fans were injured when a railing in the stands collapsed as they were celebrating a hometown victory. Still counting, it's day 17 of the federal government shutdown, and Democrats are still holding out. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
We will not support a partisan Republican spending bill that continues to gut the health care of the American people.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the elk and pheasant hunting seasons will officially open on Saturday. According to a press release, 13 hunters were randomly selected from a pool of over 26,000 applicants to participate in this year's elk hunting season. The pheasant season will run through January 4th, and hunters will have a limit of one rooster per day this weekend and two roosters per day beginning on Monday. More information on the hunting seasons and regulations are available on the DNR website. A pair of Democratic state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to create an alert system for missing individuals involved in domestic violence situations. The proposed bill would establish the Purple Alert system to ensure a fast, coordinated response to locate the missing individual. The program would be modeled after other systems like Amber and Silver Alerts, notifying law enforcement agencies from across the state. An alert would not be sent out if the individual disappeared intentionally to escape a domestic violence situation. Barron County residents are being invited to the second annual Patriot Palooza in Rice Lake this weekend to support area veterans. The event will take place on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Moose Lodge in Rice Lake. Point of Renewal Integrated Health and Lake Roots Company will host the community fundraiser, which will feature things like a raffle, a silent auction, and a bake sale. All of the proceeds raised at the event will go towards supporting area veterans, and any veterans that attend the event will also get to eat for free. With the trial in the Lily Peters homicide case set to begin in the coming weeks, court documents show that jury members will be brought in from another county. Defense attorneys for the now 17-year-old suspect charged with first-degree intentional homicide and first-degree sexual assault had previously argued that a fair trial could not be held in Chippewa County due to the nature of the case and the level of attention it's received from the community. The jury trial is currently scheduled to begin on November 2nd and is expected to last 12 days. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers fall again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers lost again to the Dodgers, 3-1. They tried to rally in the ninth, but came up empty and struggled to see the ball while at bat due to some shadows at Dodgers Stadium, according to the manager, Pat Murphy.
And we had man on second, nobody out at the end, and our hottest hitter up, and he couldn't get him over. So those types of things happen. Your offense isn't going to click. We did some good things, but didn't get the big hit, had a bunch of strikeouts when it was very difficult to see.
With a win tonight in Game 4, the Dodgers would be the first team in 16 years to return to the World Series back-to-back, manager Dave Roberts.
I think the thing about our guys is they're battle-tested, and they know that I've never lost faith in them.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers host the Ohio State Buckeyes, the number one ranked team in the nation. Kickoff 2:30 tomorrow afternoon at Camp Randall Stadium. The Buckeyes are 26-point favorites. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap. Eau Claire's real news and great conversation. And home for the Todd Allball Show. Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Shower and thunderstorm chances will continue to increase as we get deeper into your Friday afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies. Southwest winds highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, skies turning partly cloudy will be in the upper 40s, upper 60s Saturday. Currently 62 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, author Laura Bird will tell us about not one, but two upcoming book festivals around Wisconsin, what they're about, and why you might like to check one out.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome to Mattner on Air. Jane Mattner, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday. Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here. Wanted to talk a little bit about an article that is in the Cap Times about 200 teachers. This is the headline from Danielle DeCloy. 200 teacher sexual misconduct grooming cases shielded from the public.
Yeah, this is a very serious story. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one that we need to be talking about. And it's not an easy read. But I'd encourage people to read this. This is an investigative piece that has been in the works for quite some time at the Cap Times, it sounds like. And it may be part of another investigation or part of like a multi-part investigation that they are doing here. But I will give you kind of I'll read from the story just kind of like the main newsy piece of this here saying, quote, a year-long investigation by the Cap Times found the State Department of Public Instruction investigated more than 200 Wisconsin teachers, aides, substitutes, and administrators from 2018 to 2023 who were accused of sexual misconduct or grooming behaviors towards students. Information previously unknown to the public. So this story delves into these kind of secret investigations that DPI has been having about various teachers across the state,
right?
And not making this information public. There's a lot about why, you know, what has gone into this and what the investigations exactly are. But I think that the investigation also found a number of things that do not look good for State Superintendent Jill Underlee, and do not look good for just the way this organization is run largely. So there have been a number of Republican state legislators who have issued press releases or calling for further investigation or calling for some sort of, you know, hearings to happen at the state capitol and all of that. And the Cap Times investigation, I'll quote again here, also found that the department run by Jill Underlee relies on a, quote, a rudimentary system to track its investigations, obscuring the scale of misconduct for policymakers and the public. And as the Cap Times was doing this interview, and this is always telling from like the journalist standpoint on this, Underlee refused to be interviewed for
this piece. That's never good.
No. And that's never good. And I think this is, you know, we're just starting to see some of the reaction come out. I think two state senators wrote a press release yesterday, John Jagler and Romaine Quinn, Republican state senators, calling for more information and more of an investigation on this. Robin Voss put something out yesterday too. Have not seen, you know, many Democrats or anybody else talk about this, but I think, you know, this is a really serious story. And I think, you know, there's been a number of, you know, just like scrutiny leveled at Underly, at DPI over the past couple of years. I think that, you know, obviously the previous issue was the changing of standards. And I think, you know, the GOP kind of weaponized that to a certain degree in some of their messaging. But this is, I don't know why you would not make this public, mm-hmm. make this a greater investigation, because if DPI is not taking this seriously or seriously enough, that's a problem.
It is a problem.
Absolutely. I, you know, also make it clear that Jill Underling, if you don't know who she is, she's the head of the DPI, but she also just won re-election as well. So it's the fact that none of this came out, or, I mean, not the article itself even, but just the information during the election was very surprising to me. And I read the article just from the very beginning. It's a teacher who, instead of getting fired, quit so he could keep his teacher's license. And to me, that is absolutely reprehensible, and that I'll quit, but you shouldn't be around children anymore, period. That's just how it should be. But this is something that I agree with you, Dan, needs to be discussed further.
But I think that the Republicans, if they're going to come out outraged about this,
yeah,
then they best expect, well, then where's your vote on the Epstein files?
Sure.
I'm sorry. If we're all concerned about children and keeping children safe, you don't get to pick and choose mm-hmm. which story outrages you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd even take it to the point of just these Republicans. I haven't had a chance to read the press releases yet, but let's also focus on what's important here and say, all right, we need to get DPI in order. This needs to be investigated. This needs to be taken care of. And not what we're doing now is seeing the weaponization of any event whatsoever becoming the liberal blah, blah, blah. Like that dilutes the topic, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And if they're really concerned, Epstein file notwithstanding, but if they're really concerned about the DPI, our schools, and the kids, then this has got to be a very intentional investigation, and they got to look for answers instead of trying to vilify or ostracize people. That'll happen. Let that happen on its own. But if we're going to find out the details, then let's make that the priority, and protecting kids. Mm-hmm. That's always the thing, is protecting the children that we seem to say we care about.
We do seem to say that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that there should be, there's cause for a bipartisan push to investigate this.
Absolutely.
Further here.
Absolutely.
I don't think they should make this a partisan thing to look into what's going on here. I think this needs to be a bipartisan push to figure out what's going on at DPI.
Yep.
There should be no sacred cows here.
Absolutely.
When it comes to anything,
absolutely.
Especially when it comes to the safety of the children in the state of Wisconsin.
Agreed.
And so I think the fact that they have clearly, as the report indicates, taken steps to make sure that these investigations are not public. And I think, you know, the public has a right to know what DPI is investigating, what teachers might be, mm-hmm. you know, putting children at risk. Like this is serious stuff.
It is.
Yeah. And it needs to be taken seriously. And you know, obviously this just came out. It's a huge report. It's a lot to process. But I think there's reason for a bipartisan investigation into what's going on here.
I think from just the political side of it, for Jill Underly to say, I want a press conference. I want a reporter in the room. I want to talk to somebody. We're putting control the narrative and say, this is what's happened. This is what we're doing. You have the right to know, because you are the public, you are the taxpayers, you are the parents. And the fact that this has stayed under the rug for so many years is, this is very, very bad. And I'm going to warn, I will put the story in the show notes. I will warn you, there are things in this story that can be triggering or just make you not feel, you have to be prepared when you read this. There are very, very specific,
it's a tough read,
stories here, and it is a tough read, but we need to know these things. And has there been any Democratic leaders whatsoever who've stood up and said anything along, maybe even standing next to a Robin Voss or whomever?
Now, we've just seen the statements yesterday. I mean, this is all very
new. Just broke.
This story was just published, I believe, yesterday or the day before, late the day before, or something like that. So I think we're still in the initial phase of reading this and reacting, and who knows how this came up. But, you know, it's just there's the information here is really startling. Mm-hmm. You know, another one here. I'll quote again, out of 461 teachers the state investigated from 2018 to 2023 for all forms of misconduct, 207 kept their credentials and continue working. Again, if they are doing these investigations and finding out that, you know, something that everything was above board or whatever, these also should be made public.
Well, right. We should There's a big distinction there. Yes.
And so I think, you know, sunlight is a good thing. Making these public is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And doing these with a lack of transparency. And I think it's really bad that Underly declined to interview for this. Like, if there is a process for, like, how this works that maybe the public doesn't understand, or there are, like, legal certain, you know, hurdles that they would have to jump through to make this private, like, help us understand why you're doing things the way you're doing things. And if you're declining an interview for an investigative piece like this, that is going to make these things worse. That is going to make these things worse. And I think that's what's happening right now. And I think that the silence that you're hearing from DPI after this story, like there's been, you know, a half dozen Republican state legislators who have issued press releases. DPI can't comment on this story.
Right.
They can't comment. They can't have their, you know, any leadership be interviewed for this, or just like to help us understand what's going on. Maybe there is a reason that they do things that the way that they do things. But by refusing to have the conversation and refusing to, you know, defend your process or whatever it might be, it makes it look like you're putting children at risk. And that's a huge, huge problem.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron Air, we're speaking with Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer here. And we're discussing an article in the Cap Times that is an investigative article that has shown that DPI has hidden the investigation on 200 teacher sexual misconduct. So I'm sorry. I'm just going to read the. I'm going to read the headline. 200 teachers' sexual misconduct grooming cases shielded from public by the DPI. That is the Cap Times by Danielle DeClose. Is the last name DeClose?
Apologies if we missed the pronunciation, but yeah, that's my understanding too.
I will put this in the show notes so you can read it yourself. Again, this is a very, very.
It's a tough read.
And the thing too, Dan, I will say is that one of the things we talked about during the last election when it came to this position is the fact that I think Civic Media spoke to her opponent more than we spoke to her. She also was not available for interviews. And this looks bad. And you know this is happening. You're telling me somewhere in that building there isn't a piece of paper in a drawer with that has press release language on there saying, when we get found out, we at least have something to say. But they don't. That tells me that they were operating under the guise of, well, this is how we do it. Once again, this is how it's always been done, and that's all.
Well, but again, if that is the case, then the public deserves to know what these processes are
exactly,
and what protocols you are following ostensibly to investigate these cases.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't want to put somebody's name in there who was not charged. That leads to a whole other set of problems.
Right, exactly. But I think by the fact that they're not answering questions from the media on this, going to lead to, you don't want to answer questions from the Cap Times, you're going to get a public hearing in the Wisconsin State Legislature now. That's where you're going to have to answer the questions next.
Yep.
You know, like from a political standpoint, I don't know how this is going to break, but this is it's just a very, very serious story. And I think we have to treat it as such. And you know, and this might not be the end of it. I mean, this is a Cap Times first of many investigative stories looking into DPI, looking into what's going on there. There's a lot of troubling revelations in this piece, a lot of questions raised. And again, there's some stuff that we probably shouldn't talk about on the radio for some of the details that are in this piece. But go check it out. This is a really important investigative story, and it deserves serious scrutiny and perhaps a bipartisan investigation.
From a political standpoint, this is a terrible way for Jill Enderle to start her second term.
Not
really is.
Not good. When we return, boys, they'll just be boys, even if they're 31, 34, 36. They're just boys. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. North Carolina already has an F grade from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project for having extremely uncompetitive voting districts. Nonetheless, its state House Speaker announced October 13th the legislature would gerrymander another GOP congressional seat before the 2026 midterms. It's the latest GOP attempt to cling to power in the U.S. House. In a social media post, North Carolina House Speaker Destin Hall said, "We will stand with the president, defend the GOP majority, and secure an additional Republican House seat," unquote, after an agreement was reached between House and Senate leadership, according to North Carolina Newsline. The state has a Democratic governor, and Trump won North Carolina over Harris by a narrow margin, 50.9% to 47.6%. Yet, currently, the GOP holds 10 of 14 of North Carolina's U.S. House seats. But Speaker Hall noted in his post, quote, "POTUS's victory sent a clear message. The voters are with him." GOP efforts in Texas, Missouri, and Utah have been challenged in the courts, but the GOP holds a 5-2 majority in the North Carolina Supreme Court, and its decisions have favored the legislature in recent years. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that federal courts have no role in partisan gerrymandering disputes. Action on a new congressional district map will begin the week of October 20th. We have local reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area, is here. It is Friday. He joins us on Fridays. Wanted to talk a little bit about the whole boys will be boys thing. It ain't no big thing. Who doesn't love a little Hitler and make gas chamber jokes and say rape is epic?
I don't.
You don't?
I do not.
Are you not a boy?
I am a man.
I thought boys all said things like that when they're just chatting amongst themselves.
It goes back to that it goes back to the whole thing from the 2016 election of locker room talk. That was one of the greatest deflections I've ever heard in my life. When the now president of the United States on a hot mic caught saying what you can do to a woman, especially when you're rich. I knew we were in trouble when I just saw, it's locker room talk. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. This goes back to a political article from just a couple of days ago. I love Hitler. Leaked messages expose young Republicans' racist chat. Thousands of private messages reveal young GOP leaders joking about gas chambers, slavery, and rape, as one does, apparently. If you listen to Vice President J.D. Vance, Calvin, I believe we have a clip from Mr. Vance. Could we play that, please?
By focusing on what kids are saying in a group chat, grow up. I'm sorry. Focus on the real issues. Don't focus on what kids say in group chats.
They're kids?
Well, no. But also, we shouldn't focus on those, Jane. What we should be focusing on is the social media posts about people making comments about Charlie Kirk so we can call their employees and get them fired, because that's what he told people to do. So, again, Mr. Vance, make a decision. I know you won't, because you are a coward. But that's just, for me, that is some of the one of the most infuriating things about this turnaround. Charlie Kirk died, what, a month ago? And people were yelling and screaming. People should be fired for the things they say. But now, don't worry about it, guys.
It's fine. Yeah. Their boys will be boys. These are people in their 30s. These are not boys.
Exactly.
These are not children.
These are people who are closer to J.D. Vance's age and my age as millennials than, you know, some sort of Gen
age.
Alpha high school nitwit, you know. And there's nothing that Republicans won't excuse as long as you agree with them.
Up here, it sure seems that way.
J.D. Vance going out of his way to defend this.
Yes.
Not just saying, oh, I don't think this is a big deal. Like, we got bigger things to worry about. I'm the vice president, blah, blah, blah. He's going out of his way to
defend nothing.
This.
It's a nothing burger.
Yeah.
Well, two more members of this young Republican group chat have stepped down from their jobs.
But it was just jokes, Shane.
I know. And they've got pictures with Elise Stefaniak.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were New York Republicans.
Yeah, a lot of the reporting was through the New York.
A lot of those pictures shockingly have disappeared from her social media.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Johnson has a picture with one of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Johnson said, well, you know, it was the inauguration. Anybody can walk up to you for a selfie. I didn't realize just anybody could go to the inauguration. I'll go.
Yeah.
I'd love to go. So anyone can just walk in. I thought you needed an invitation.
You need a ticket to get in.
You do.
You have to have a ticket.
So you either have to be someone or know someone who's someone to get there.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes, exactly.
All right. But they're just boys.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think that there are layers of problems within this story. One, the fact that they keep on referring to them as children. I mean, that's just not what they are. They're not children. And also, no. I'm sorry, but if my child, let's say I had two boys and they were texting each other and they were like 10 or 11, first of all, I'd be like, why did I give them a phone? Second of all, I'd be like, this isn't funny. Don't ever do this. I would not be like, they'll grow out of that. No, because you allow them to do these things. It gets worse and worse and worse. And also, and I'm sorry to say this, from a comedian comedy standpoint, they keep saying they're just jokes. Okay. I'm sorry to be persnickety about this. There were no jokes in these. These are just statements of like
they're slurs.
That's all they are. This isn't a thing of like, oh, it's freedom of speech. They're just trying to be funny. No, they're not. I love Hitler. What punchline is that? Where is the joke? Where is the setup? This is reprehensible. And at the very least, J.D. Vance could say, I got things to worry about. I think that the organization should do it. I mean, Mark Wayne Mullen got on CNN and said that this is a zero tolerance thing.
For him.
His boys would never do that. He wouldn't allow that.
Right.
And we don't accept this. Untrue, sir. Untrue.
Well, and obviously there are households where this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This comes from somewhere.
Their parents.
What this story does show to me, to a certain extent, too, is that it is indicative of where the Republican Party is headed with the next generation of Republicans who have only known Donald Trump
mm-hmm.
as the figurehead of the party, as the dominant figure in American politics.
Yes.
I think there's been so many Democrats over the years just like waiting for the fever to break and just waiting for the sane Republicans to take back hold of the party. It's not happening.
No.
This is the future of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Guys in these insane group chats. And now they are going to be in leadership positions and are in leadership positions
already
throughout the Trump administration, throughout Republican Party chapters throughout the country.
We have news coming up next when we return. Boy, they really don't want this No Kings rally to happen tomorrow. My, my, my. Are you going? We'd love to hear from you. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to attend one of around 50 educational events next week honoring International Bat Week. According to a press release, four of the eight species of bat found in Wisconsin are considered threatened. DNR officials say conservation efforts over the past decade have helped the bat populations begin to rebound. Event locations and tips for helping the bat population from home, like building your own bat house or using native plants in your yard, are available on the DNR website. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the state ended the 2025 fiscal year with a budget surplus well over expectations. According to a press release on Wednesday, the state ended the year with a positive balance in the general fund of about $4.6 billion. That mark is over $265 million higher than previously estimated. Governor Evers also announced that the state budget stabilization fund, essentially the state's rainy day fund, reached a record high of roughly $2 billion to end the 2025 fiscal year. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is seeking public comments on a proposed resurfacing project in Pierce County. The project would take place on State Highway 72 from County Highway BB near Ellsworth to County Highway G near Elmwood. DOT officials say the highway is showing signs of deterioration and construction would include resurfacing work, widening travel lanes and shoulders, and adding rumble strips. More information on the project is available on the DOT website and public comments will be accepted until October 27th. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin held a virtual meeting on the government shutdown with community leaders from across the Chippewa Valley on Wednesday. Senator Baldwin spoke with small business leaders, healthcare officials, and child care providers, highlighting the dangers of losing the Affordable Care Act tax credits at the center of the shutdown. The group shared concerns on the financial impacts increased healthcare costs could have on the region beyond healthcare, with higher premiums making it more difficult for them to support the local economy. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Diane Keaton's cause of death has been revealed. The actress passed away at the age of 79 on October 11th at her home in Los Angeles. According to Yahoo Entertainment, the actress's family says Keaton died of pneumonia. The Annie Hall star had had two battles with skin cancer in recent years and has also dealt with an eating disorder. Her daughter Dexter and son Duke said they were grateful for the support shown for their mother's passing. There were two great movies out this year that were totally original and unbelievably well executed in Sinners and One Battle After Another. Original movies can be done, but this is Hollywood, and according to Empire Online, there will be a new movie based on the Flintstones in space, also known as the Jetsons. Sigh. I guess the good news is Jim Carrey is being looked at for the part of George Jetson. Plenty of great filmmakers out there, but they're going back to a cartoon from 1962. Well done, Hollywood. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Shower and thunderstorm chances will continue to increase as we get deeper into your Friday afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies. Southwest winds highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, skies turning partly cloudy. We'll be in the upper 40s, upper 60s Saturday. Currently 62 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dan Hagen, you were out hunting. How did that go?
This buck is eluding me, so I'm just trying new things. I bought designated hunting clothes that I'm going to wash with special detergent that has no scent on it.
People get into the scent, and there's all kinds of things people try to do. I don't know that the science is conclusive. Otherwise, everybody would have success every time. You got to try what you can try, right?
That's spending money for no real reason, probably, at the end of the day.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We review the week in the law, especially the federal court that just ruled that Trump can't fire thousands of federal workers. Who knew?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone coming live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Just a reminder, Game 4 is tonight. Brewers at the Dodgers. Broadcast starts 7 o'clock. You can listen to the game if you so choose.
Oh, no.
On WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, in Racine and Kenosha. Catch it on WRJN. Dodgers hosting the crew tonight. Our broadcast starts at 7 o'clock. Fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope. Tomorrow.
Hope is a good thing.
Hope is a good thing.
Oh, both of you with that.
Tomorrow is the No Kings rally. And Republicans are very upset about this. Very upset about this. We have a clip. And we mentioned Charlie Kirk, the horrible murder of Charlie Kirk, which is what it was. And all the talk about toning down the rhetoric. After the murder of Charlie Kirk, everybody's got to tone it down. We have to stop calling each other names.
Take down the temperature.
Take down the temperature. So, yes, fulfilling that, we have White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt talking about the folks who will be at the No Kings rally tomorrow. Calvin, let's play that completely fair description of the people who will be at the rally tomorrow.
Party's main constituency are made up of Hamas terrorists, illegal aliens, and violent criminals. That is who the Democrat Party is catering to, not the Trump administration and not the White House and not the Republican Party.
Mike Johnson said this morning they're going to descend on our Capitol for their much anticipated so-called No Kings rally. We refer to it by the more accurate description, the Hate America rally. I'm not sure how anyone can refute that. You're bringing together the Marxists, socialists, Antifa advocates, anarchists, and pro-Hamas wing of the far-left Democrat Party. They hate capitalism. They hate America. They hate all the ideas that we work for every day. Mike Johnson from this morning. Lowering the temperature.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we had a decade of hearing about how saying people belong in a basket of deplorables was the worst thing that anyone had ever said. And we need to make sure we are having respect on all sides for all parts of the political process. And no, we've got the White House now saying that the Democratic Party's main constituency is Hamas terrorists.
Hamas terrorists.
And on this list of things. It's ridiculous. Tim Walz had a good tweet responding to this. Most Republicans are good people. Most Democrats are good people. The White House says outrageous things to make you hate your neighbor. Your neighbor isn't the problem. The White House is.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And it's the White House and it's the ultra wealthy. And that's who the White House is representing now. It's the ultra wealthy. Last night, I believe it was last night, there was a big fundraiser for the big, beautiful billionaire ballroom. Right. The government is shut down.
Right.
People aren't getting paid. But hey, let's have a party to raise money for my beautiful private club.
Right.
That's all
with
fine.
His very own arc.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get his own arc de triomphe. That's a whole nother discussion. We'll get around to that. Well,
and when you listen to them talk about this, whether it's Carolyn Leavitt, well, whomever it is, they're all... They don't have anything to say about it because they keep recycling the same talking points. Hamas terrorists, they've brought Antifa back into it and are now saying it's an organized group and they've arrested the girl. Like, it's, they don't stand on your policies. While you're marching through the streets, we're trying to get the government up and running. The Democrats won't come to the table, but we have plans for the American people. Instead, it's stuff like this that is just absolute nonsense. And by the way, coming out of Mike Johnson's mouth is some of the most uninspiring rhetoric ever because he has two modes, Mike Johnson and slightly agitated Mike Johnson. He doesn't really do a good job of instilling any sort of, like, you know, big feelings. He always seems annoyed by every single question he has ever been asked. And Carolyn Leavitt, you can do better than naming three groups of people I'm pretty sure who can't even vote to begin with, let alone saying they're just say like pro Hamas. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'm going to go to a rally, so I'm pro Hamas. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But Hamas terrorists? What are you talking about, dude? You're better, quote unquote, than this.
Are they?
That's why I did the quotes.
Are they?
That's why you got to watch in the live stream. Yeah, it's it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the response to the protest tomorrow. What the administration is going to do, but I think there is, you know, and you mentioned that the just to connect things to the last segment that we were talking about, the Politico group chat story that was talking about, like the people that the White House is talking to with these types of comments are in that group chat.
Yes.
You know,
oh, yes.
That is the audience that they are trying to please by saying that, like, the everyone on the left, every Democrat is a Hamas terrorist and illegal alien and whatever else. Right. Those are the people who are. And I think this is kind of part of our ongoing political realignment that we're experiencing, too, where I think you have like these psycho incel nut jobs in this group chat, and then I think you have the actual constituency of the Democratic Party now, or it's just kind of a lot of more normal offline millennial parents, I think, in a lot of instances too. And you're just talking like people just want better healthcare. Like this is not just like this is not like people who are want to like completely upend the American experiment. This is just, can we have a little bit better health care?
Well,
can we raise taxes on these rich people? Can we have some level of like there? It's just so dismissive to call people what they called people in these press conferences.
And that also makes me question whether or not these folks have access to a dictionary, because I got news for you. Fascist, Marxist, communist, socialist are not all interchangeable words.
Right.
They all have specific definitions and they don't. You can't just swap one out.
But they don't.
They don't all mean the same thing.
Jane, you're talking nuance. You're talking crazy.
I know. How kooky of me.
But I think that's a very good point you bring up, Dan, is that when it's written in the history books, if it ever is, you think about both of these rallies that will take place this year. It's going to be millions of people marching for a fairer America, not an America that enriches them. It's about just, hey, I'd like to be able to afford to send my kid to school. I got to march in the street for this.
Right.
And what will be interesting to see is how many more people will be protesting this time, and how many more of those people will be individuals who voted for Donald Trump who are saying, yep, wrong, let's do this, let's get to work. You know, that's the numbers are what I'm very interested in seeing, and especially in those small towns around the country who have 5,000-10,000 people, how many people will turn out? Because we saw the numbers from Wisconsin and it was impressive
in June
for small towns and villages. So That's the, for me, that's the takeaway.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here on Matt Nair on Air, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area, talking about the No Kings rally that is happening around the country tomorrow. By the way, Midas Touch reporting on Twitter that No Kings organizers say that RSVPs now for the No Kings rallies have more than doubled since Mike Johnson and Republicans started attacking them and calling it a Hate America rally. Folks are planning to turn out because they love this country and would like to see democracy preserved, as opposed to, I don't know, just giving all of the power to the executive office. And that includes the power of the purse, which is supposed to belong to Congress.
And there's nothing more American than not wanting a king, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing more American than this. I want to highlight one perspective on this that I thought was interesting. Dave Weigel, who's a longtime political reporter, he was at the Washington Post for a while. He's now at Semaphore. He wrote a piece with the headline, "Yes, Kings, Republicans Revel in Trump's Imperial Presidency." And just talking about how many Republicans like this no guardrails version.
Give it all to
of
him.
Trump
2.0. We need a dictator.
And there was another piece in the New York Times this week talking about how, like, there were actual, looking back compared to what we're seeing now, there were guardrails on what Trump was doing in his first term in office.
Not anymore. No,
those are all gone. And I think now that Republicans are happy with it, because it's just like, well, yeah, I don't want to have to go through all this nonsense with Congress and, oh, the courts are, you know, they're just holding us up. It's an insurrection by judges and whatever else we got to do. We just want this one man to have all of the power to do everything.
Because he's so smart. Joe Walsh, who is a former Republican, who was a Tea Party member and a very outspoken one, and has since become, he has registered as a Democrat now. Yeah. But I think this is really important for folks to remember if you are going to a No Kings rally tomorrow. Joe Walsh said in a piece, "Be smart. Republicans want you to F up. They want you to get violent. They want those videos. They're going to have people out at every rally. They want videos of people waving Palestinian flags, Ukrainian flags, other countries' flags, so they can use that video to support their narrative that we hate America."
Well,
so be careful tomorrow. Do not give them what they want.
Well, on
peaceful, respectful protest is the way to go here.
Absolutely. This is about loving America and preserving democracy.
But I will say this. If you go to the No Kings website, they lay out very simply the things you should and should not be doing while you're there as representing that, essentially that brand, which is No Kings. But I'll say this. Fly your Palestinian flag. Fly your Ukrainian flag if you want. If they want to take pictures and put that in videos, that's fine. Because at the end of the day, they have to defend why they don't want freedom for other people. As we just said, No Kings is sort of like the kernel of why America became America. And countries and people like the Palestinians and people like the Ukrainians want freedom. And if people out there are saying no, they have to defend why they don't want that someday. Now, maybe not tomorrow or next month, but to me, I think it's reprehensible that they get to say, don't, I fly your flag, fly whatever flags you want, as long as you're staying respectful. But if they want to use those people as narratives of why it's bad, then why do you hate freedom, the other side? Why don't you want these individuals and other countries to be free? That's the thing that really gets to me every time we talk about it.
My whole point is, be safe.
Yes.
Be positive. Mm-hmm. Be celebratory.
Wear a costume.
That's also a thought. I'm just saying. Unicorns for Democracy. I'll see you in Brookfield tomorrow.
Did anyone else find it interesting that I think it was the Mike Johnson clip where they said they were descending on the Capitol? It's like, but what about all those people on January 6th who descended in the Capitol?
Oh, and that's a whole different thing.
Exactly.
That was a love fest.
I mean, that was just some tourists walking around,
that
you know?
Was a
what
love-
about that? They're sending Black Hawk helicopters into apartment buildings into Chicago now. There's a lot to protest for what's going on in this current moment.
Yeah.
And I do think it's interesting that this No Kings rally has kind of become this all-encompassing protest too, that is like kind of just pulling together all of these different things. There are more than 100 events planned across Wisconsin this weekend. And so I think people, you know, myself included, have been very discombobulated by this moment. And I don't really know, like, watching what's going on in Chicago and watching what's going on nationally. But I do think there's always an option to make your voice heard and to peacefully protest. And I hope that's the energy that people take into it tomorrow.
Absolutely. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. I feel the earth move, literally. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trick me. She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream, Hello Live Stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking before the break about the No Kings rally tomorrow. If you plan on going, please be peaceful. Please take pictures. We would love to see them. Andrew from Maine texting in on listening on WAUK. We need people attending the rallies tomorrow to dress up like Mike Johnson and John Roberts so video can show them that MAGA stalwarts stand with the No Kings protesters.
I would say if you're going to dress up like those individuals, I want people who can really dance do that. I want to see someone dressed as John Roberts who can twerk, who can find a light pole and pole dance. I want to see someone dressed as a Supreme Court justice.
Who can really do it.
Who can cut a rug. I want to say shake a rug. That's not a thing.
You can shake
a rug. You shake a rug if you want while you're cutting a rug. That's
fine. Not quite the same. Yeah. Coming up on Monday, we will be examining all the things that happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. A lot of news tends to drop after we get off the air on Fridays.
Yeah.
Shelley Pittman, our civic media news director, not going to be able to make it. She normally joins us on Monday. So we will do a recap in the first hour of Matt Nair on Air coming up on Monday. So I hope you can join us for that. Right now, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays. Jane says at civicmedia.us. Casper sent this in, one of our colleagues here at Civic Media. The headline from the Express in the UK. NASA says giant China dam shifted Earth's axis and has made the days shorter.
Thank God.
Anthony Arrico with the byline. China's Three Gorges Dam has effectively changed Earth's axis by nearly an inch since it was built 18 years ago, causing our days to get longer ever so slightly. The Three Gorges Dam changed Earth's axis.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I know. It's pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah, I didn't even know you could do that.
Construction on the massive dam began in 94, took about a decade to be finished. It transformed the Yangtze River into a 10 trillion gallon reservoir that does generate a whole bunch of power. It powers over 5 million households for a month. While the dam is a marvel of engineering, it has also triggered surprising consequences to the Earth's axis, a feat most scientists thought was impossible. The 10 trillion gallons of water that the dam holds back adds weight to the Earth's crust above sea level, redistributing mass inside the planet and affecting the moment of inertia. Oh, I know what this means. No, I don't. Scientists at NASA have confirmed the added weight has caused Earth's rotation axis to shift 2 centimeters.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like a lot, but smart people say in terms of planetary physics, this is significant. The rotation of Earth has slowed down slightly as more mass moves away from its axis. This actually is similar to something that happened after the 2004 tsunami, which also shifted the Earth's axis and shortened the day by a few microseconds.
That was
it's so mind-blowing.
It was mind-blowing, but I also feel like we should have gotten a scientist in here to make me understand it. Just like, water, world fatter, day shorter. There we go.
It's complicated, but it's kind of it's wild.
Can you even wrap your brain around 10 trillion gallons of water?
No.
I mean, that is bonkers. Bonkers.
It is bonkers.
I mean, yeah. I will say, though, that when China wants to do an infrastructure project, they just do it. They just do it.
They apparently get it
done.
Meanwhile,
we just get wider freeways.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for watching on the stream. It means the world. Mm-hmm. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next. Yeah. Tom Hartman then from noon until 2 o'clock. Todd Alba takes over 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn, the award-winning Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Pete Schwabba, a little nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m.
And it's not just done after Pete Schwabba. We just don't go off the air. We don't play the national anthem and there's a test sound. There are great programs after that as well, including the Rick Smith Show and Native Roots with Robert Pilot.
So good.
It's a great show. I love listening to it. And I just want to put a plug really quick because we talked to him yesterday. Tomorrow, Amicus, a law review. He will be talking about the Voting Rights Act being in front of the Supreme Court. It is probably the most important decision on the docket this time around. It will affect everyone.
Yes.
Everybody. And I'm surprised, honestly, that they didn't just take it up as a shadow docket.
Thank you, Greg Buck and Unicorns for Democracy.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow in Brookfield. Be safe, everybody. Stay with us. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton, indicted yesterday, appeared in a Maryland courtroom today.
This is a self-surrender. This is a defendant in a criminal case reporting himself to the federal courthouse for administrative duties in the case.
CBS's Scott McFarland says Bolton denies he shared classified documents. President Trump meets with Ukraine's president today at the White House, and he's planning for a one-on-one with Vladimir Putin overseas. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio will be meeting with his Russian counterpart sometime very soon as next week.
Day 17 of the government shutdown. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries takes aim at Republicans.
They are in the legislative witness protection program. No one can find them here in the Capitol, and no one can find them in their districts. They're not holding town hall meetings. They're not visiting federal employees. They're not engaging with their constituents.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kay.